This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Monday, May the 23rd. I don't know about you, but this month is just flying by. A lot of schools going to be out this week, so be careful as you drive around our great city in the metropolitan area. We're used to kids being in school during the day. They'll be out on the street playing whatever they riding their bikes, playing in the street and otherwise. So you want to be careful, folks. This is a transitional time right now, so as you proceed down your neighborhood streets, please drive slowly. We got a great show lined up for you today. We'll visit with Guy Williams, President, Gulf Coast Bank and Trust. We'll talk all things about the economy, things that are going on in Eastern Europe, Western Europe, that are going to influence what's happening here. And we have a number of economists that are coining all kinds of different phrases about the stage that we find ourselves in at the present time. We'll try and make sense out of that with Guy Williams in a 12 o'clock hour. We're open lines in the 11 o'clock hour. I got a couple of crazy things that I'd like to talk to you about and get your reaction. And if you have some for me, please give me a call, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. We would love to hear it. It was a rough weekend in the city of New Orleans. Shootings in all areas of the city. A lot going on in the metro area as well. And we'll talk about that too. So this name, image, likeness, the ability for players to be able to negotiate contracts to basically self-promote themselves. The NCAA is somewhat taking a hands off. We now have coaches calling out coaches calling out players calling out coaches, and this is just beginning. This could be a free-for-all. And here to give us the backdrop about all of this is Mike Dettillier, WWL's NFL and college analyst. Mike, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Newell.
So, Mike, I don't know if I mischaracterized anything, but Saban's calling out Jimbo Fisher. Jimbo Fisher's calling out Nick Saban. We got players now calling out Saban as well, and Saban calling out Jackson State. I mean, this is getting crazy, and we're just beginning.
Yeah, this was easily predictable. Once the Supreme Court ruled in a 9-0 verdict that you could have this name, image, likeness, and this has long been set up. Ed O'Bannon years ago sued the NCAA because they basically used his name and image and likeness on a video game. And so it's been the drop of the ball by the NCAA and Mark Emmert to do anything to try to help out. Newell, they've spent hundreds of millions of dollars to fight this in court and being a loser basically all the way around. And now all this comes into focus today. What Nick said, once you get past him calling out Jimbo and Jackson State and Dion and players, once you got past that, what he said, a lot of people have agreed with, and that the genie's out of the bottle now. How do you kind of rein this in? The unbelievable part is that Mark Emmert is now asking Congress to get involved. Come on, they can't figure out their own stuff, you know, in this country. And now he's asking them to try to fix some of the stuff in the NCAA. I thought that's why they were paying him tens of millions of dollars a year to be basically the commissioner of NCAA. But he has been inept in that job. And so it's opened up the Pandora box. What Nick Saban did would be similar to what Joe Valachi did in the 1960s and basically ratting out the mafia. Okay, you were part of it. You're part of this. And you ratting out other coaches, players, everything else. You part of that process too. You're doing the exact same thing. But because, and listen, I've been around him a few times. We had done some junkets here when he was at LSU. And he gets testings, and listen, like everybody else, his valves go off. And something set him off that day. And what set him off is the fact that I think if you ask most coaches in the SEC, head coaches, and coaches I've spoke to, assistant coaches, what's the biggest fear of a team really challenging Saban in the SEC, they would say, look out west, College Station, Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. They have the money, the players, the setup to do it. And I think that that bothers him. That's gotten under his skin, and they became number one in recruiting. Had they finished sixth or seventh in recruiting, knew you would have never heard a peep about that from Nick. Because he would have been number one. But it bothers him. It bothers him. And how he went off on a tangent. And then you saw Jimbo go off on a tangent. And they both kind of the same guy in a lot of ways. Very much so. I've known Jimbo for basically 20 years. And they have a lot of similarities in their personalities. But basically what Nick did is he's calling out another coach and coaches. He also signaled out Jackson State and Dion and that he was doing. He's doing the exact same thing. So it's hypocritical of what he's pointing out because Alabama's done it the exact same way. But really the system is broken at this point. I'm never against somebody making money, okay? First things first. You know, if some rich guy who's got a company and they want to pay you to be part of name, image, likeness, man, I'm all for it. Why shouldn't we be? They got some people in this world that are haters. They hate anybody getting paid other than them. I'm not one of those people. You know, my thing is, if that's the case, that's the case. That's the way the rules are set up. But you can't rat out somebody else and point that finger directly at them. In college football, that's never been done. It really has not been done by a coach of that magnitude because he's the greatest coach of all time in college football. We saw a little bit of it a couple weeks back when the University of Pittsburgh head coach called out Lincoln Riley for what he felt was tampering with his star receiver, who had put himself in the transfer portal. Well, guess where he ends up last week? USC. Mm-hmm. On a multi-million dollar name, image, likeness deal. And he basically called out Lincoln privately, but he said it also publicly, that he felt as though they had crossed the line of what he felt was tampering with a current player. So, Where does this go?
But where does this go now? I mean, what does it mean relative to recruiting? What does it mean relative to agents? I mean, are all these rules basically going to be out? Because the fact, what's actually happening, as you well know, they're contacting these kids not through the university, but through boosters, and they've got this new organization that they've setting up. These, not a consortium, I forgot what the word is. where a group of folks at one of the schools, they come together and they form a group to finance these NIL contracts, collectives. They're forming these collectives, and, you know, they're the ones that are in contact with the kids. So what happens then? I mean, so recruiting, for the most part, out of the window. Agents, agent representation seems to me out of the window. And they haven't modified transfer portal rules, so consider the following. I've got a big NIL contract with a company. The company is sold or goes bankrupt. So me as the athlete, there's nothing to replace it at that school. I go get in a transfer portal, get the hell out of there so I can get another contract.
Yeah, I talked to Coach O about this, and he had told me, he said, Mike, the crazy thing about all this, these young kids, they know what they're getting before they sign their national letter of intent. They know exactly what they're going to get off of a name, image, likeness deal. And he said, what it's going to do is it's going to force you to play freshmen a lot quicker from a coaching standpoint than maybe you would like. Because if you don't play me as a freshman, the idea is going to be, wait a minute, when I signed this deal up and I signed to your school, you promised me I could play as a freshman and play a lot. How come I didn't? I'm going to go somewhere else where they're going to pay me and I'm going to get to play. So it's really edgy on both sides here. It opens up everything, and the NCAA now is helpless with this. Now, when you get to the point of you're asking Congress to help you, you're really helpless at this point. You really are, because I don't know how they're going to be able to rein this in, and it's going to be, you paying players and people with major boosters are going to be able to get involved. Now, they've always been involved. We've all known that boosters have been involved with athletes. And also the best and the brightest for years. That's always been in place. Now it's legal to do it. So it's really the wild, wild west of what you're watching today in front of your very eyes on where players end up going. And I don't know where it's going to end because there is no rules in place now, nothing to really stop it.
Well, one of the benefits, as you well know, that the NFL has is that, don't have these.
They have a salary cap.
They have a salary cap, but also the FTC, as you know, they as owners collude, right? I mean, you know, so.
No question.
So you don't have this anti-competition aura that's out there that still applies to these colleges and the representative conferences that are out there. And maybe that's why the NCAA is having the difficulty that they have, is because they'll run afoul of the FTC, I guess, or something along those lines, because you got these conferences, you have independents, you got what, two or three different divisions that are out there as well. And how do you manage all of this? And, you know, you said something earlier. I don't feel bad for the coaches at all, because this all started with them making, you know, $10 million contracts out there as a college football coach. And, you know, they made it big business. They built the big temples. They built the pools. They built the workout facilities. They built temple after temple after temple. It's a series of pyramids on these campuses that are out there. And, you know, now they don't want it to be big business anymore.
Well, what's happened is that the NCAA became the pawnbrokers for college athletics. They made tens of millions of dollars off players and didn't want to give them their piece of the pie. And if it was given, it was a small piece. And now all of a sudden, the players have turned on them. So the NCAA throws their hands up and says, where do I do now? What do I do now? you know, and that's when Emmert makes his pivot toward, well, we need congressional intervention. What? They don't have enough stuff to handle to do, and most of the time that's not correct to begin with. So you've got a lot of different things happening here, and the defeats that they've taken in courtrooms have been across the land. It's not just one or two losses. It's been losses everywhere. And so now the coaches are caught in the middle. You feel as though, well, you know, that coach is there to build the program and, you know, help young men grow up in life. And that's all nice and fine, but they're there to win games. So it becomes competitive. And what happens is you have major boosters with tremendous amounts of money. This isn't a poor country. When you look at some of the guys that are paying the kind of money they're paying, they have an elite level of booster that can basically kind of get this going for a school. And he'll get his buddies involved and people that he went to school with and everyone else. And it's a trickle-down effect. And so the players are now getting paid for the first time, legally getting paid for the first time. How they handle it remains to be seen, because I've had a lot of former players and coaches say, you know, that we try to stress to them, hey, listen, if you're involved with this, remember one thing, your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, your girlfriend and all, they may forgive you, but one person won't. That's Uncle Sam. Because when you're getting paid, guess what? He wants his cut, too, of all this. And secondly, what does it do to a locker room? Okay, so-and-so's getting, let's say, $150,000 a year at a school. And you maybe have a lineman who's maybe got an NIL deal where he's getting 15. What does that do to a locker room with 18, 19, 20-year-olds? How does that affect them? I know that was Archie Manning, because him and I spoke about this. How does that affect it overall? Because there is going to be a difference. Life isn't fair. And some people are going to get paid more than anyone else. And how this is all going to affect a team, how it's going to affect how you can deal with a player, how you playing a player for playing time, it's all going to affect the entire part of the game and the ability for that player to transfer. Without having to sit out a year, that's the other part. I think most coaches, they could accept the NIL deals. I think they could accept that. They understand that that has been going on for quite some time. What is really changing the game is the ability to go from one school to the next, and some of it is because of money, and you don't have to sit out a year. Nothing. You can just leave. So, dude, it's affected it a ton of different ways, and it's happened all in a very short period of time. It's overwhelmed the NCAA, where they need some leadership and somebody that can grab some reins here and to have everybody agree on the same rules. What you brought out about the NFL is correct. The 32 owners, come on, they're not really battling with one another because they share the profits. That's not the case in the NCAA. They ain't sharing nothing. You know, I get my piece of the pie if it's an SEC deal or ACC deal, but they're cutting a bunch of independent deals themselves and egos involved. Tremendous egos with guys that are not millionaires today. We're talking about billionaires that can basically set things up.
I got to get to a break, but when I come back, I want to ask you just a couple more questions about who is the party that they're negotiating with, and will it be that you have to play? I mean, are there any rules? We'll talk about that when we return with Mike Dettillier, WWL's NFL and college analyst. We're talking about name, image, likeness. In the NCAA. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
We're back. We're visiting with Mike Dettillier, WWL's NFL and college analyst, talking about name, image, likeness and where this is going to lead. There's already some friction in the NCAA. Mike, first off, two things. One, who is the party that you're actually negotiating with, and could it be anyone? And then the terms of these negotiations, do they have to be guaranteed contracts per game, per season, percentage of play time? What happens if you're injured? What about mentions, clicks, endorsements, clothing? You know, I'm looking at a picture of Saban with a Nike symbol and Jumbo Fisher with Adidas. What if he signs, the player signs a deal with Nike and he's playing on an Adidas-sponsored team? Who wins?
Yeah, it's all questions to be answered later. I think the big question for most coaches that they bring up is the fuzzy area. Is a player getting paid before he signs that letter of intent to go to that school or afterwards? And that's what Nick was kicking about, a lot about it. Because, listen, he can't kick about players getting paid. I mean, look, all the endorsements he's got. He's got Aflac, one of the biggest, him and Dion, both. You see that 5,000 times if you watch a college football game. Anybody can negotiate if it's a parent.
And you know they had to pay him well because he's doing things you wouldn't ordinarily see him do, right?
Exactly. This is script. This ain't Nick coming up with this, believe me. Who they're negotiating with could be a parent, could be somebody that they bring in as a lawyer. I know one young man who told me that, you know, his parents, you know, didn't quite understand the name, image, likeness part of things. And they brought in an attorney to make sure that, you know, what was being told them and how they would be represented in a car dealership and also in another firm. That the individual is going to endorse is correct. And basically, it's sort of year to year. It's sort of like what your scholarship is for sports. I mean, everybody thinks they get a four-year ride, but it's really four one-year rides, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so the contracts are basically built like that, too. And exactly what you have to do, and with so much social media, that's also a part of it. Today, you know, I think all of us, for the most part, get at least some part of our news through social media. And they want that athlete to push whatever the endorsement is on social media, or if it's radio, television, commercial, you name it. And we're just starting to see glimpses of this today of how it's going to shake out. Also, to go to someone's company if, you know, if they play in golf somewhere and to have that star athlete with them and, you know, introduce them to other people. You know, that's just all part of it. So it's just the beginning of it, Newell, to be honest. I think had the NCAA been smart, which they aren't, years ago, and had put aside money for the athletes, we would not be in the position that we're in seeing today with players and coaches sniping at one another. You would have had that part. But because they were so greedy for their money, so greedy, that it has now opened up the Pandora box that no one knows what happens next and where this leads to. And how do you rein in that has been open season now for a year? How do you do it?
I think,
and who does?
I don't know about you, but I think this year we'll know, we'll get a glimpse. It'll begin to reveal itself as to how overbearing this is going to be. You know as well as I the business that we're in. You understand what advertisers desire. You can't always do what they desire. But you're going to have a lot of these kids that are going to be asked to do things that I don't think they really recognize the downstream implications the same. And it could be crazy. And that's why I said there's no template. There's no anything. And it
there's
just
no
kind of runs up against. It runs up against the disciplinary side or the discipline side or the stability and continuity side of running a football team and running a baseball team and a basketball team and or whatever it may be as it relates to these athletes. And it's just this has moved entirely different from just getting a W-2 salary, right? I mean, this is something of a different nature, and this is, I think, dangerous, and it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
How it works out, I've done two series already on it for NFL Films, and we're going to do a third one this coming Wednesday on the impact of SEC into the NFL. And we've seen this huge explosion over the last 20 years of all these players from the Southeast Conference and the impact they've made in the NFL. And I brought it up on the last episode that we did that'll air during the summer about what will name, image, likeness, how will that change? Because there are people that have done a little bit more research about this and a lot of research about it that feel as though the average name, image, likeness deal for a player is going to be around $110,000. But the SEC, they feel as though the average will be about $185,000. What is that going to do to the impact of recruiting players to Southeast Conference schools and how that's going to affect it and how it's going to affect the team, not if things go good, if things go bad? And what was promised to that player by a coach or by an alumni or by someone involved in name, image, likeness, and year one doesn't go like it's planned? And are they going to say, okay, if that's the case, I'm out? Coaches, y'all allowed to leave and go wherever y'all want. No penalty. Now the players have the same right to do the exact same thing. However you feel about it, right or wrong, they can leave whenever they want. And it's going to put a tremendous amount of pressure on coaches to play freshmen that maybe necessarily you wouldn't play as much because you don't want them upset that you're going to lose them. And what
but
does
Mike,
that do to
you,
the upperclassmen?
You have to agree that what I predict is going to happen is the following. You will have these collectives that have already been put together that are going to pool their money. They will make sure that every scholarship player that goes to a school is going to get an NIL contract of some sum. Now, the average may be $185,000, but you're going to have a lot of $5,000 players out there with a $5,000 NIL. They're going to suck it up. They'll take it. But that means that you're going to have a lot more, far in excess of $500,000 a year. Typically, a lot of these teams have anywhere from, 90 to 110 kids on these team?
85.
About 85 of them are scholarship players?
Yep.
You know, I mean, think about it. That's what's going to happen. And you know, so you're going to have the haves and the have-nots, very much so. And basically, there will be, what little parity there is now, there will be less. There will be two tiers in the SEC as well, because not all SEC teams have the juice behind A&M and Alabama and some of the others and LSU and others. They don't, you know, Vandy doesn't. I don't think Kentucky does. Ole Miss maybe on the cusp. Mississippi State definitely not. Florida obviously does. But, you know, you got a little bit of the haves and the have-nots now. I think the chasm gets wider. Your thoughts?
I agree totally. Tim Brando and I have talked about this. We've done a couple of shows together. It's not going to kill college football. I mean, it's still the second most popular sport in America. And other than the NFL, it's right there behind it. And so it's still going to be there, and it's still going to be popular. But I think the division between the upper tier and the middle tier will lengthen even more. And basically, you put your middle-range teams, and then your lower-range teams. And I think you're going to see more and more division in between the three than ever before. It's still going to be a super popular sport. And the worst thing about college football, and I had a head coach tell me this last week, he says, we're too damn long between the seasons. You know, we end in December unless you play in a bowl game, and then we don't start up again until August. There's a lot of time for talk and chatter that, you know, in college basketball is not like that, and college baseball is not like that. But look how long, you know, and the season's so short that, man, he said there's going to be a lot of different things. And he said, if you think the Saban, Jimbo, and sort of Deion got dragged into it too, is something, he said, that's just the start. He said, it's going to get worse. And we're starting to see now the egos and emotions get involved. And I don't know where it ends, Bill.
And my fear is education actually is going to go by the wayside even more so than it has already.
It's already gone by the wayside in many cases.
Absolutely. Mike Dutillier, as always, love the insight, my friend. Thank you so much for your time this morning. We know you're busy. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Newell. Appreciate it, buddy.
All righty. That's Mike Dutillier, WWL's NFL and college analyst. Want to hear from you. Name, image, likeness. We'll be right back. On the text line, I guess we can put to rest the term student athlete. Newell, the downfall of college athletics has become, I will not watch anymore. It's not enough that these student athletes get free tuition room. And I don't really care if LSU beats Bama or not. I'm done. NIL is now filtering to the high school level. Just great. So much for that kid doing his calculus homework. And that's the thing that I'm most concerned of out of everything, is that we have built these temples, these shrines, the pyramids, so to speak, and we keep building and building and building and building, and tuition is going up and up and up, and tuition debt is going up and up and up. And where's the end? And it's all based on a lot of these contracts that are being signed with the media outlets and alike in the coverage of all of this stuff, and replacing what was ordinarily, some costs out of your traditional revenue that came into colleges through tuition fees and otherwise, which was good at first, but now it's kind of run amok. And now we've got some conferences doing these sweetheart deals to the detriment of others. The SEC has been the primary beneficiary of that. Some of the largest universities in the country lie within the SEC, and in 10 years, if it continues on the same track, it's going to be even worse before it gets better. So it's going to be interesting to see how this is ultimately going to play out, because there are no controls at the present time. As I pointed out, just on a social network, you know, talking about advertising for a company, and there's no, what if somebody signs an endorsement deal? It could be any company out there. Think of the worst case scenario. I'm not going to mention it on air, but just let your mind wander. There's no limit. It could be anything. Mentions, clicks, the endorsements, clothing, this, that, or otherwise, you know, per game, guaranteed, per season, percentage play time. What happens when you're injured? What if you have a career-ending injury? Are these one-year contracts, four-year contracts? Your red shirt, could it be a five-year contract? What happens if you enter the transfer portal? Are you out? Is there a template? Some of these kids will sign deals without legal representation, understanding the downstream implication, rely on this money, maybe borrow money on the promise of this money. If you don't think that can happen, it happens every day in America. And now our focus is on managing our money as opposed to managing our education and managing our God-given talent to play a sport. I don't know, folks. Seems like the priorities are screwed up again. You've heard me say this before. The defensive backs coach at LSU makes more than the governor of the state of Louisiana. Which one impacts your life more? We'll be right back. Stay with us. Folks, when we come back after the top of the news break, we'll have open lines. We want to hear from you, and I'll throw out a couple of things that have happened over the weekend that I think are very troublesome and would love to hear your reaction to same. And then in the 12 o'clock hour, we will visit with Guy Williams. We will talk about NFTs. We'll talk about the collapse of supposedly safe, stable coins in the crypto world, financial preparation for the hurricane season, and other issues as well with Guy Williams. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after the top of the news break. This is Newell on WWL.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.